Test, test. All right. How are you, Miss Sharon?
Ready?
I'm ready. All right. Good evening and welcome, everyone, to our Wednesday night service here at Calvary Baptist Church. And so it's good to see everyone. Thank you to those who are coming on screen, Facebook. And we appreciate you for watching and always participating in our services. And I tell you, we've had a, this afternoon, talking to Brother David a minute ago, this monsoon of rain. It's a good thing. We need some rain and need to cool off things and for the crops to grow. But picking up Lily from school and coming back, and it was, had to turn the flashers on, could barely see. And but anyway, the Lord brought us home safely, and thank you for weathering the weather to come on out to God's house tonight. And I want to dive right into things. We're still rejoicing, of course, over last Sunday, over the two souls that got saved. One in the morning, I believe Alex got saved in the morning at Sunday school. And then Omani, Sunday night in the end of the service. And Lord just knows how to rekindle the flames, how to light your fire. And I tell you, that really, really made me feel good. And I know it did you as well. And so with that said, we're going to hopefully the latter part of this month, if not the first of next month, we're going to plan a baptism service, but also a communion service. And this is what I would like to do. I'd like to have both in one Sunday, communion and baptism being the two ordinances of the local church. I think that'll be pretty awesome to do on one given Sunday. That Sunday morning, we can have the baptism, the night service, communion, or vice versa. I just think that'd be the neatest thing to observe both on one Sunday. So we're in the works of getting that planned and together. And so be looking forward to that baptism service and communion service. Now, I know you can't see this, but this, I just got the shipment in today, and this is the convenient communion cups. This is the convenient communion cups. So at the conclusion of service, you can come by and look at it. On top, it has a scripture. And then underneath, the white thing that you see, if your eyes are good enough, mine are, feels like are going downhill. But anyway, that's the unleavened bread. And you peel the first film back, and you have the bread. And then you peel the second back, and there's the cup. And so I got a box of 100 in yesterday. And it is, isn't it? And so somebody's making a killing out there during all this COVID stuff. But anyway, we'll be using those, Lord willing, when we have communion. And the deacons can still serve, and each person will still partake of one, but all in one cup. I call it the convenient communion cups. The Lord looks on the heart, doesn't he? And so he knows that we are doing it from the heart. Also, I want to remind everyone of homecoming next month, September the 12th, in Sunday a.m. 10:30 service. Brother Snyder will be coming to preach for us. And we'll have Calvary's growing choir, I will say. Our choir is growing. Calvary's choir and some special singing for that Sunday. We know we had the diplomats through here not long ago. And so we used some resources for that. And so we want to kind of space out the singing groups coming in. But nonetheless, we'll have a great, great homecoming service. We'll have details a little bit later as far as food and things like that. Is still in the planning stage. Tonight, let's remember Miss Mary Kelly. She updated me just about an hour before church tonight, and she will be having surgery on the 18th. She'll be having some type of back surgery. The text that she sent me, she put, broke the middle of her back. And so, don't know the extent of that other than she says she broke her back in the middle. And that's where they're going to be doing the surgery. That's the target area. And so let's pray for Mary Kelly. Let's continue to pray for David Barker, the Priscilla Young that has cancer that spread, his request he sent in, and Miss BJ as she continues to recover from her surgery. Continue to remember our children's home and our house parents and the staff there. The Teagues, Larry and Christy was here Sunday morning, but Miss Connie was still at home with she's doing much better, and she's Brother Larry said that she's able to come, but she just had a minor physical setback on Sunday morning. But let's remember them in prayer. The Dailies, Miss Dawn is doing good, but Brother Jim Jr. Texted me really not long before church, about an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours before church, and his daughter is on the way to the ER. She has a problem going on, and there's an Indonesian pastor and pastor's wife that's not doing well, that's in dire need of prayer, that Jim Jr. Called on us to pray for. So let's remember these requests as well. Trell Norton, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, the Tidwells, Ben's grandmother, last I heard she's getting ready to pass, but hasn't passed yet, and also Ben's health is not doing that good. And of course, his mother has fibrosis, so let's remember them. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, the retina's doing better, it's healing up properly, but he is supposed to have shoulder surgery soon, and so that's on the horizon for Brother Leonard. And of course, we'll continue to remember Billy. How is he doing? Do we know? We will continue to remember him and Claude both. And how is Tandy doing? Good, good. Good, good. Been praying for him, his recovery. And Harold Dolph is going tomorrow, actually, for an MRI on his neck and his back. And that will determine if he's going to have surgery as well on his back and neck. He's definitely having hand surgery, he told me. So hand and possibly back and neck. And on top of all that, cardiac rehab he has to do. So Brother Harold has a full plate. And if you're watching tonight, Brother Harold, we love you. We're praying for you just as I told you we would, and we do. Charlie Wilson, Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich. They made it back safely to Peru, and let's just remember them, but also their friend that's going to have surgery soon. Claudia Darby, of course, being diagnosed as diabetic a couple weeks ago. Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Randy and Diane Ely, Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins, and those that serve in the military, that come from the church or the home, both. Let's remember them. Maybe someone has a prayer request that we didn't mention, or an update, or praise of some kind they want to mention tonight. Don't want to leave anybody out. All right, well, let's just remember the service tonight, and remember our young people and our teachers that are on the lower level of the church, and pray that Alex and Omani will just grow in the Lord, and I encourage myself, but I encourage you as well. You know, if you see them in church, shake their hands, give them a hug, help disciple them. You know, any kind of words of wisdom you can give. If there's any part that I feel that's lacking in a lot of churches or the church world, is you lead them to Christ, and then a lot just trust that they'll grow in the Lord without any kind of guidance. And so that's a definite second step that's necessary, is discipleship. So let's remember that. All right, if that's all, let's come and down to the altar, all that would and are willing and can. We'll have a time of prayer together, silent prayer, and then we'll bring the lesson tonight. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to read verse 7 and 8 in just a few moments. But as you're turning to Jeremiah 17, let me just open the lesson tonight by saying that eventually, we will arrive at heaven's gates, and everything will be much, much greater over there. All that are saved will eventually arrive at heaven's gates. We will either go by way of the grave, or we will go by the rapture. And I'm praying for the rapture. I know that those that are saved will not feel the sting of death. We will not have a clue about it, but I just assume go up in the rapture, my family, my friends, and not have to have any family members go to the graveside. And so eventually we'll arrive at heaven's gates. We will be in that eternal home. But until then, we have to continue on down here on earth, and continuing on earth, we have to continue to contend with the competitors of our soul. There's a battle here until we get to heaven's gates, until we get to that promised land. There is a battle that we're in. You know that. I know that. And the flesh, the world, and the devil, every single day. I thought the older I get physically and the older I get spiritually, I thought that the battles would get less, and less. But I've come to the conclusion they're going to get greater, and greater. There was a preacher that I used to preach at Zion View. His name is Harvey Ware. I don't know if some may know Brother Harvey. But Harvey Ware, I believe his brother is Freed Ware, which is Ceylon's brother-in-law, in fact. But Harvey Ware, he used to come and preach for us at Zion View when we would have small revivals and all. And Harvey Ware told me one day, talking to him on the phone, he said, Brother Hales, and he was around close to 80 at that time. He said, Brother Hales, I thought that the battles, the challenges, temptations in life would get less and less. He said, son, he said, stand close to the Lord because they are much more sophisticated battles the older you get. And the battles continue. And so I knew when he said that, I knew what chance do I have of my battles getting less. So saying that, the flesh, the world, the devil, we must continue to contend and stand until we reach heaven's home. And so tonight I want to give some directions to us based upon and out of God's Word, of course, that will keep us moving in the right direction until we reach our final destination. And so with that said, tonight I want to share with you this title and talk to you on this subject, and that is Directions Until Destination. Just some directions I want to share with us tonight that hopefully will be an encouragement that will just keep us moving in the right direction until we reach that final destination. And again, they all come from God's Word. I wouldn't teach you anything otherwise. But they're all principles, and the basis is in God's Word. So tonight, four things, four directions that will keep us on the right path. Number one, staying connected to Jesus. Staying connected to Christ. We're going to need a supernatural inner strength to continue on within us as we move forward. I believe we all could agree with that. Again, the battles aren't getting less, they're getting more. The devil is being more strategic in his battles, more sophisticated. What used to trip us up or get us down weeks, months, even years ago, well, he has different tactics now. Our flesh learns. And so we must stay connected to the cross. Stay connected to Jesus because there must be this supernatural inner strength that gets stronger and stronger as the days go on. And we need this. We need this inside of us. It's not good to take a day off from spending time with Jesus. I've learned that the hard way in my experience. Well, I'm just going to put it off for a day or two, spending time with the Lord and, you know, being busy and everything. And I tell you, it's no time. No time will elapse before you realize you shouldn't have missed that quiet time. We've got to stay connected to Him. for this supernatural strength to continue on within us, doubt, fear, anxiety, worry, and depression are all emotions that the devil uses to paralyze the believer. You know, the devil, he cannot possess us, but he can tempt us. He can try to paralyze us or get us in a neutral place. We know we're going to heaven when we die. We're not out living in the world and doing like the world, but yet we're not moving forward and spending time with Him. So that's a neutral place to be in. And He wants to get all of us in that neutral position where we're just basically waiting for the rapture. We're not fighting the battles because it costs too much emotionally. We're not, again, out living in the world and doing those things, but yet we're not moving forward. And Satan uses, like we preached Sunday night, the lies of the devil. He uses lies and he uses doubt. He uses fear and depression and worry and all of these emotions to try to get us to a place of just accepting the mundane, accepting the mediocre. He may come to you and say, oh, or your flesh may say, oh, well, you know, don't try as hard today. Don't try as hard today because you know what's involved. You got to get down and pray. You've got to focus real hard. You've got to clear your mind, and that takes work. You've got to open your Bible, and look how big the Bible is. You know, you've got to read the Bible. And it has been my experience that my flesh tries to get weak on God and lose its devotion. And the devil tries to tempt me to think those things. But in all of actuality, once you get plugged in prayer, things start to improve. You get more focused and you're able to share your heart with the Lord and be open about it. And in return, He gives grace and He gives mercy. And then you go to His Word and you know you're not going to read the whole Bible in one sitting. And so you pick out a verse or two. That's always been my thing. Whenever I sit down to read, unless I'm studying for a service here at church, if I'm just feeding myself, I'll grab one verse and just think about that verse. How does this verse relate to me? And meditate, not just get into the Word, but make sure the Word gets into me, and then things start to change. But Satan in the flesh, they like to overwhelm us so that we don't get plugged in. But tonight, if we're going to overcome, if we're going to contend with all of these contenders of our soul, we're going to have to stay plugged into Jesus. We're going to have to stay connected to Him. Now, we're going to have such a relationship with Christ that if there's no, and this is a big one, even if there's no encouragement around, we will still thrive and operate. Look in Jeremiah chapter 17. Look in verse number 7 if you would. Jeremiah is actually given a picture here of what I just said. When there's no encouragement around, still thriving. Verse number 7, Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And this is what I like right here. And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The word careful there means anxious or fearful. And so Jeremiah is telling us to just stay plugged in to Jesus. And when times of drought come, it won't deter us or shake us because we're anchored into Him, you see. We are connected into Him the same way that, well, a vacuum cleaner. You take the vacuum cleaner and take out the cord and you plug it in the wall and you have power, but the moment it's detached from the wall, you don't have no power. And so we, like that vacuum cleaner, need to stay plugged into Him. And so when hard times come, yeah, they may be troublesome, and we may feel the vibrations of trials, I could say it that way, the vibrations of trouble, and we can certainly know that something's going on in our life, but it's not going to stop us from growing. It's not going to stop us from reaching souls and stay in the course. It's not going to stop us because we're connected to the Lord. Again, verse 8, listen. He says, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters." He's getting his resources, this tree is, and absorbing from the waters. "And that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Stay plugged in. Even when there's no encouragement, even when there's nobody there to say, "Atta boy," or "Atta girl," you know, nobody to prod you along, you've got to rely upon your own personal relationship with Jesus. Now, how are we to stay connected to the Lord? Well, we know those simple things, those elementary first things, that is reading the Bible and praying and things like that. But in John chapter number 15, turn to John 15 for a moment. John 15, in verse number 5, of course, this is the vine and the branch chapter. Jesus is giving this parallel before he goes on to the cross, is buried, rose again, and goes back to be with the Father. He gives these instructions, he gives this picture of the relationship. In verse number 5 of John 15, he says, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." And so he says, abide. And that word abide means to continue or remain. You see, it's easy when the winds of adversity blow toward your place, your house, when the winds of drama, when the winds of sickness blow our way, it'd be easy to retreat from that secret place with the Lord and try to figure out what's going on and where we went wrong and what can I do better. And some of those questions are okay, but at the end of the day, as Proverbs says in chapter number 3, that we are to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and to lean not. There's the catch. That's the hard part. To lean not into our own understanding. Lord, what's going on in my life right now? I go to church. I pray, read my Bible. I tithe. And trouble, Lord, has come to my house financially, physically, and all these other things have happened, Lord. I just do not know where I went wrong. And see, if we're not careful, we can get caught up in that trap. One of the traps of the devil is trying to explain everything that's going on in our life. We are to examine ourselves daily and to make sure it's nothing that we did to promote the struggle. But outside of that, if we've checked that and if we're repented up to date, then if trouble has come to your house, you have just got to trust the Lord with it. Trust the Lord. Charles Stanley says, trust the Lord and leave all the consequences up to Him. And that has always stuck with me, what he used to say. Abide, stay with. You remember in John chapter number 6, verse 66, John 6:66. The Bible says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and and walk no more with him. And then you go on and read, Jesus, he asked the 12, will ye also go away? Verse number 68, Peter says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Like the old church hymn, where else could I go but to the Lord? And finding refuge for my soul. That's what Simon, his reply to Jesus, a bunch of them, they turned and walked away. Disciples did. And I believe that many of those same disciples that turned and walked away from him were only following him because of the miracles. If you go back and you read, you'll find out that in sequence, there's the miracles that have been taking place and the loaves and the fish and the loaves and all of that. And then Jesus begins talking about, I am the bread of life, and talking about he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood. And most of them got offended and couldn't understand what he was talking about. And so many of them just walked away. Many people, they follow Jesus for the miracles. But then when the message starts, many get offended and walk away from him. Only the true, they're not in it for the miracles, but only the true and the faithful, they accept all of Jesus, the miracles and the message. And tonight we see that we're to stay plugged into him. We're to abide in him. And the longer it takes for the rapture to take place, the more I believe evil this world is going to get, and already is. And we already know about politics and everything that took place in this last election and what happened, the liberalism on the left side, and the direction they're trying to take the country in. You could turn on the TV and you can see they're trying to make homosexuality and gay and lesbianism just a regular thing. Never in my life. I mean, flipping through the channels, looking for the Braves game, at least one out of three commercials, it is now two men or two women and a kid with them. I mean, you know, it is something that is coming from the wicked one, is coming from the left side, and they're trying to pump that into our living rooms. I want to say this is going to get worse and worse and worse. They're trying to get us to a place of accepting that. And listen, I'm against homosexuality just like I'm against any other sin. And the thing about it is a lot of times we like to put different sins on different levels. But at the end of the day, if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of all. But homosexuality, that's just one of those things that's against nature. You know, God did not design the human race to have such a relationship such as that. And it's one thing that caused the Lord to burn Sodom and Gomorrah down. It's because of that wickedness. At least in one instance. And so tonight we need to stay plugged in. Stay plugged in. That way we can overcome the adversity that's coming our way. Without him we can do nothing. Then in Nehemiah 8:10, don't turn that out, just give it to you. Nehemiah 8:10 says, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Our strength can leak tonight. Therefore, we need it to be renewed. And we do that. We do that by staying plugged in. Let me mention this, another thing. Not only staying connected to Jesus is one way we're to continue on until we reach our destiny, our destination, but number two, operate out of charity. Operate out of charity. We're living in a time where anger and hate and violence is plaguing our world, and the race war and all of that that's taking place, and white privilege and BLM and all that kind of stuff. Man, that just drives me crazy. And the thing about it is, it doesn't matter. You can try to help one race or the other as much as you can. It doesn't matter how much you're still, somebody's going to still be a slave to the other. But it's love that conquers all. love. We don't need different groups protesting. We need Jesus accepted. And when Jesus is accepted, then, and when love is abiding in our world, that's when everyone will come together. Charity. In 1 Corinthians 13, the word charity is used. It's used several times, actually, in 1 Corinthians 13. But charity is translated in the Greek as agape. There's two other kinds of love. There is the phileo love and the eros love. And so we know that the agape love is the unconditional love. It's unconditional. The phileo love is more of a close friendship, friend kind of love. And the eros is a strong physical attraction, affection kind of love. And so Paul speaks out of 1 Corinthians 13 several times about this agape love. It's not enough just feeling love, but also there must be a giving of love. Charity is love in action. I can say that I have love for you, and that's fine. But there also needs to be an action that follows that love, or really, you know, love is neutralized. And so charity, it means agape. It's the agape kind of love. So saying all of that tonight, and so in spite of the chaotic times that we're all experiencing and all the different kinds of emotions, it doesn't do anybody good to respond other than the response of love. And remember, the opposite of love is hate. And we know that the Bible says in Proverbs 15:1 that a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Anger tonight begets anger. Every time in our house when Lily may get upset, or Christy even, you know, everybody gets upset. We're not a perfect family. And so might as well use us as an illustration. I always say, and I even remind myself if I get upset, that anger begets anger. Lily, you're upset, and so getting upset with your mother is not going to help anything. Christy, you're upset, getting upset with Lily is not going to help anything. Anger begets anger. I know y'all can't visualize that, but hey, we're just like anybody else. With school and work and all kinds of things that we deal with in life, there's times where we get angry. And getting angry towards someone is only going to cause them to be angry. So tonight we see that we're to operate out of love, not just have the feeling of love, but actually love in action. And the challenge is turning the other cheek. The challenge is responding in love to someone who's angry with you. I know that's my challenge. When someone's angry with me, I want to respond in anger because I want them to know who they messing with. That's the Justin Hales, you know, that dead man Sunday night I was talking about dragging around. That's him. He, you know, anyway, we're not going to chase that rabbit. This is church, okay? This is not Wednesday night Nitro, WCW. But the old Justin, I want to prosecute. I want to nail to the cross. But you see, that only begets more problems. You know, most of these shows, whether it's a crime scene investigative show, there's one particular around the tip of my tongue I'm trying to think of. Anyway, it's about people who have domestic problems and someone just has enough of it and they snap and they murder the other person. And then they're in prison their whole life. You know, a lot of these cases like that, the person who commits a murder isn't necessarily one all the time that has a track record. What happens is it's the perfect set of circumstances, and they've taken it and taken it and taken it, and they haven't dealt with it, and then that's what it's called. It's called snapped. They snap. And out of a fit of rage and anger, they do something that they'll forever, forever regret doing and forever be locked up in prison. And so what I say is, between now and heaven, operate, do our very best to operate out of love. Jude 1:22 says, and some have compassion, making a difference. So compassion makes a difference. So what are we to do? We're to be carriers of love. Number one, we're to love God. Deuteronomy 6:5. Number two, we're to love ourselves. We're made in the image of God. And so we're not to compare ourselves with others. We're to forgive ourselves when we fail. We're not to compare ourselves with others, but we're to love ourselves. Love ourselves. I went to the doctor today just for a regular checkup on my new blood pressure pill, and it's doing great and all. And I was talking with her, and I was describing some things, you know, just some stresses of life. And she says, well, you know, Justin, with what you do and all, you help everybody else, but you need to know. She was telling me this. She was standing up, looking me in my eyes, and said, you need to allow yourself not to have it all together sometimes. I said, well, thank you. She said, you're human just like anybody else. And it's okay when you don't always have it together. And I knew that. It's just something about someone else telling you that, you know. And it does. It brings some kind of a sense of relief knowing that, hey, I don't have it all together all the time. But I try to. I try to. And so it's important to be carriers of love. Love God, but love ourselves. Be easy on ourselves at times. Because it can drive you crazy. It literally can. And then love others. Love God, love yourself, love others. And things will be looking up after that. Let me mention a third thing. Directions until destination. Not only operate out of love, but stand courageously. Stand courageously. Esther stood courageously, didn't she? When she approached the king. And she approached the king, and he lowered that scepter, which meant proceed. And so she came forth and she told the king of the plans, of Haman's wicked plans. And so the king proceeded to listen and granted her the authority to go and have those letters erased so that the Jewish people wouldn't be killed. Esther stood with courage on that day. Joshua, he stood with courage and had a courage pep rally under his new leadership to the men that were getting ready to cross the Jordan River and go into Canaan land. Many, many times it was mentioned in chapter number 1, the word courageous or courage. Be ye courageous. Be not dismayed is the goal here. And so the world wants us to adopt the whatever makes you happy idea. Don't judge idea. And so the world wants us to cowtail down and to feel like we're bigots and racist, but really we're just holding up the words of life to the world. And the darker the world gets, and if the word of God is not lifted up or sounded out, then it will seem more and more and more awkward and frustrating. At the end of the book of Judges, we know that there was no open vision. There was no judge to rule over Israel. And there's a repeated verse when you get toward the end of the book of Judges, and it says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And it's because no one was holding up God's word. No one wanted to pay the price. And so we need to have that courage to stand. Even if we're standing alone, we need to stand. Paul said that no man stood with me, but God stood with me and strengthened me. Stand courageously. And lastly tonight, when it comes to these directions, as we're heading toward our destination, we need to look consistently. And that is looking up consistently. So the Bible tells us that Jesus is coming again, and we know that He's coming in two phases. He is coming, number one, for His church, and then He's coming with His church. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, I'll just give you the verse there. You can look it up later. But it talks about the rapture. The word rapture is not in there, but it says caught up, which those two words together in the Greek means harpazo, which means to seize or catch away or rapture. And so the rapture is mentioned there. And then it's also mentioned in 1 Thessalonians, but chapter 5 and verse 2, it's going to happen when we least expect it, as a thief in the night. And then in John 16, verse 21, talks about the woman that's in labor, comparative to the return of the Lord, how the contractions, they grow, and they grow, and they grow, and then comes the babe. You forget about all of those harmful, hurtful contractions, and you're rejoicing over this new baby. So is the coming of the Lord one day, is like a woman in labor. And then I want to say that the coming of the Lord for His church happens before the Antichrist. Many people think that the church is going to be around while the Antichrist is here. And there's even a denomination that believes that the church is going to go through the tribulation and be purged with fire, that we may be presented faultless and spotless before the bride, or before the Lord, the bride, we being the bride of Christ. And but that's not true. The Antichrist comes after the rapture. After the rapture. Someone said, I can't remember who it was, but said, you know, why in the world would the Lord, of course, I guess in proper terms, He would be the groom and we're the bride of Christ. I should say it that way. Why would a groom put His bride and beat His bride and all of that to His bride before the marriage day? And, you know, the person said, well, do you want your wife, your bride, to go through all that? No. No. So it's not going to happen to us. Tonight, we're to look consistently toward heaven. There's actually a reward for those who look faithfully, who desire the Lord's coming. There's a reward for that. So we're to look consistently between now and then. We're to stand courageously between now and then. We're to operate out of love between now and then. And then we're to stay connected to Jesus between now and then. Tonight, just some directions until our destination. And I hope it was a blessing and a help to you. Lord, we love You tonight. We thank You. We praise You for who You are, Lord. We pray everything was received in the right spirit tonight, Lord. We're not bigots by no means, Lord. We're just trying to present the truth. And to say that there will be no peace on earth until You're here. In the meantime, help us offer peace to everyone, Lord. Because You did die for everyone. We love You tonight. We thank You. We praise You for who You are, for what You do. Keep us safe, Lord, until we come back on Sunday. And we'll praise You for it. Lord, give us another two great services this Sunday. And Lord, so we can bring glory to Your name. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Anything to mention before closing tonight? All right. You're dismissed.